Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And back this morning, and give me a call, 222-8255. And anyway, talking about these old times with Captain Fred, John Dearson, people like that, it's just kind of made me reminisce about, you know, thinking about the times we always talk about, well, we need to go fishing with so-and-so and all that. And next thing you know, after a few years later, I'm just unable to do it. So better do it while you can. Those are some good guys and a lot of knowledge. I'm going to miss that. You know, I didn't set out myself to make fishing my livelihood. Of course, I was a field engineer for a while on infrastructure and stuff. And, you know, it was, instead it's just been, you know, fishing's just been, I guess, my way of life. You know, it's not only what I do, it's who I am. And I love the water, the environment, fish. I love fishing. You know, I love the salt life. My wife says I have salt-tainted blood running through my veins, so she's probably right about that. I live it. I love it. I talk about it. I read about it. You know, I don't really like to watch it on TV, but I wear it, and I ink it. And my wife says I might talk about it in my sleep sometimes, but you know, chartering is no glamorous way of life. There's no big expenses. I mean, there are big expenses involved with it, so it just isn't going to make anyone rich. The weather conditions can be difficult to deal with for long periods of time, but, you know, and driving a 45-foot rig of a truck and a boat back and forth to the water each day, it's kind of, you know, in the traffic, it's really a pain in the neck. I drive 29 miles one way, so it's not like just a few blocks. But, you know, I have a boat for a desk, a beautiful scenic river and backcountry creeks, you know, for an office. So to me, it just doesn't get any better than that. Let's get Ken on the line. Morning, Ken.
Hey, Captain Dick, how you doing?
Oh, hey, how you doing, Ken?
I'm doing great, man. Obviously, you know, I'm sitting here listening to you and the stories. And one thing I remember about Fred was, you know, back in the day, fishermen were tight-lipped. They wouldn't tell you nothing, man.
Oh, yeah.
But you get with around the captain, and, man, he would sit there and talk with you. And he would, you know, he would put his information out there and let you know what, you know, what's going on. I'd be out there in the river sometimes, out there at the jetties, and he'd be fishing, and he'd say, hey, come on over here, anchor up over here. And he would just, you know, he'd share his information with you. And back in the day, you couldn't get nobody to share no information. There was very few fishermen, charter captains, people that, you know, did it for a living that would share anything with you. But Captain Fred, he was one of a kind. There's no doubt about that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I had him on whenever I first started doing the radio show. I guess I'd been on there for probably a year and a half, and got him to come on the show with us, and with me and Captain Mike Darvo. And I was really, you know, surprised, pleasantly surprised about, you know, how much information he'd give. We had probably about 15 calls that day, you know, in our two-hour show to people asking Fred about this and about that and about how to do, you know, how to fix the bait and stuff like that. And then you're also, when you're talking about him sharing information, this is the only time that I had ever caught this size of mangrove snapper. But we were heading out one day to sheephead fish. And, you know, I slow down and go next to people, you know, if I'm closer to the rocks, you know, and moving,
right,
you know, to a sheephead spot or whatever. Go out and around, right, a boat or whatever you want to ease around. So I was passing by Fred, and he just kind of motioned for me to get behind him. And so, right, you know, yep, I kind of,
he would do that.
Yeah. So I kind of turned around and, you know, pulled pulled up. Of course, they're just fishing on one side of the boat next to the rocks, you know, sheephead fishing.
Right.
Well, I figured it was sheephead fishing. And he told a guy to get in the cooler and raise a fish up. And he had about a 2-pound mangrove snapper. And yeah, and he goes, they're in here thick. And he said, just pull it right behind me. So I pulled up there. And let me tell you, for about 2 weeks, and we didn't catch a bunch each day, but for about 2 weeks, you get in that one area. And I mean, it was, I was seeing him, he was seeing me. And, you know, if I was in there first or whatever, then he'd come up and he'd go, you know, are they here? And I'm like, yeah, you know, pull right here. And it was just so funny that they were in there that thick. And I mean, it was the biggest mangrove I've caught inshore. And for whatever reason, they were in that area, and they were in there for almost 2 weeks. But one of the things that got Fred one time was he came out, and he had a charter with this one guy, and he had only one guy on the boat, and we're out there drum fishing, you know, on the rocks. He got out there. I had a Carolina skiff at the time, and I was anchored up. I didn't have the spot lock trolling motor until I got this boat. And but I was out there anchored up with my rock anchor. And Fred came up there and, you know, kind of tried to anchor by me, and his anchor wouldn't hold. And I had a couple guys on my boat, and we're kind of fishing straight up and down, you know, because I always like to put the boat, you know, you see people go out there at the jetties, and they get in an area, and then they throw way over, you know, away from the boat. And then they're hung up, and they break the lines off, stuff like that. I always like to get where I want to fish. And drop straight down, even if I had to use an 8-ounce sinker. And so anyway, Fred got up there, and he tried about 3 times, and he could not get the thing anchored. And he told me, he says, I guess we're going to go over here on the inside of the south. I said, no, come here. I said, give me your rope. He goes, what? I said, give me your rope. I said, my anchor's hung. So I tied him onto the back cleat on that Carolina skiff I had, and I let out about, you know, 15, 20 foot of rope. And he's like, what? Aren't I going to mess you up? I said, no, we're fishing straight up and down. And him and his customers sit there and caught their limited drum. And that night he called me and talked to me for probably 30, 45 minutes. He said, I just can't believe you did that. I said, Fred, you've given me so much information over the years. I was glad to do that. You know, he said, yeah, but I was afraid I was going to mess you up. I said, we're fishing straight up and down. We're not having to worry about your anchor rope because your anchor rope's tied to my cleat. I said, you know what? You don't have an anchor down there, you know. So.
Well, that's one thing about Fred. He was genuine, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He really was.
He was absolutely. And it's like I said, back in the day, man, you couldn't get nobody to talk nothing about fishing or tell you nothing. But you could get around Fred and start yapping with him, and he'd sit there and just talk as long as you wanted to talk, just about.
Yeah.
And he what was the name of his boat?
Miss Yvonne.
I thought it was the Little Yvonne.
Well, the first one he had was the Little Yvonne. And then and then he got, which he had that last Critchfield was what kind of boat it was.
Critchfield.
Yeah.
And you know what? A good friend of mine was I built that boat for him.
Oh, wow.
Which he's passed away now. But, yeah. And I don't know why Little Yvonne stuck in my head, but I guess it
was. Well, because he had it for so many years. And then he had, you know, then he got the other one.
The new one.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he had it for years and years also. So, I mean, some people probably don't even remember the other boat he had, but, I remember so much. That's my wife's name too, and that was Captain Fred's wife's name.
Yeah, I know that.
Yes,
I know your wife's name.
Yeah, and oh, that's right. Y'all went to school together.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we just found that out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. That was funny because I was talking.
I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? But anyway,
can you hold on, Ken?
Sir?
Can you hold on through the break or not?
Yeah, I can hold on.
Okay. Because, you know, talking about Fred, did you ever fish with John Dearson?
No, I never got a chance to fish with him.
Yeah, I did.
He was more inshore fishing, which I did a lot of inshore fishing, too.
Yeah.
But
Let me put you on hold, Ken, and I want to ask you some more stuff. And we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun, but at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back, and we got Ken on the line here. And Ken, I want to know, what was the, who was it, I guess, that dubbed you Pelican?
Dadgummit. There was an, I can't even think of his name now. But he was a charter captain, and he wasn't very long in Jacksonville chartering, but he's a charter captain, and I was fishing in the river one winter, and you know how the pelicans would always flock around you?
Oh, yeah.
When you're out in the river.
Yep.
And he happened to come by and saw that, and he put it up there on the message board. calling me the Pelican Pirate, and that's how I got that name.
I've wondered about that.
Yeah. It was just one of those days when you wasn't catching no fish, but the daggum pelicans were waiting for something to eat, you know?
Yeah, in the dead of winter. Going to say, in the dead of winter like that, a lot of times you catch them little old whiting. Boy, they're drifting past the boat, and then they see you set that hook. When they see you raise that pole, they know what's happening. I mean, we're talking about, you know, fish learning things and stuff earlier. Those birds know exactly what's going on.
You know, I actually have pictures of that, and the pelicans are basically sitting on the back of my boat. They're basically sitting on the back of my boat. You can shoo them away, but they're going to come right back.
Yeah.
You know, they just fly right back. But
yeah. There's and the pelican, as soon as he pulled the trap, the pelican flew up and got down in the water right there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was the neatest thing, man.
Yeah, them pelicans are weird that way. But they will look for a free meal. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, when we were talking about Captain Fred there, you know, whenever, you know, he'd fish out there in areas like that, you could go up to him and, you know, say, "Oh, they're biting," he'd tell you. You know, like you say, most of the people, you know, you talk to a hunter, he'll tell you where his deer stands at, his tree stand or whatever, and he'll tell you, you know, what moon phase, what, you know, this and what that, you know, that he shot that deer or whatever, and you right. talk to a fisherman and they're like, you know, it's
over
like
there.
Yeah, it's like I caught it with clapboard. We know clapboard's like 4.5 miles long when it goes up into Ocean right. Way there. It's like, well, you know, that wasn't any information. I remember talking to a young captain that he no longer charters anymore, but I think he only chartered for like 2 years. But I was talking to him one time, and I said, "Oh man, that's some nice flounder, you know." And he had asked me, I don't know, 2 or 3 times about where I caught some black drum, because I caught them in the creeks. They were not the jetty drum, you know. They were small, you know,
right.
2-3 pounders. And and I told him I caught them in Simpson's Creek, and told him where at. And then I told him where we caught some trout, you know, one time, and what lures we're using. And I asked him, I was like, "Well, you know, what area did you catch those in?" He goes, "Oh, around Blunt Island." And
yeah,
I was like,
"Blunt Island's a big island."
Yeah, I'm like, "Around Blunt Island." Well, I know, you know, we used to fish up there by the JEA dock, you know, when right. you could get up in that little cut right there in the docks. And could fish up in there, and then of course down where the, you know, where the trailer bridge is, where they right. laid the barges, you could get up in there. And then of course you got the whole, you know, all the way around Blunt Island, you know.
Right.
But I just thought that was kind of bad. I never asked him anything else, you know.
Right. But one thing about I'm sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
One thing about Captain Fred, and he's so legendary.
Yeah,
with his little Critchfield, he goes out there and wins the Kingfish tournament.
That's back in the
day when there was 1,000 boats out there.
That was so cool. I mean, here's some of these people going to Brunswick, Canaveral. You know, burning up hundreds of dollars worth of gas, and he goes off and tips the South Jetties and wins the tournament.
I know, and I'm like, right. I was so happy for him that weekend. I'm like, yeah, that's the way it's done right there. Hey. That's showing the big boys how to do it with your little bitty Critchfield.
That
go
was
out there and kick all their butts, man.
And for those of you who don't know, that was a 15 and a half foot boat. 15
yeah.
and a half yeah. foot boat.
Yep, yep. That yep. was the little Yvonne.
Yep.
That boat.
Yep. That was so cool. And for a long time, that Kingfish hung in Whiteshell. I don't know if it's still there or not, but they hung it up in Whiteshell Fish Camp for a while.
Right, right. Okay, Captain Vic, it's always good to talk to you, buddy. And
thank you, sir.
Tell my girlfriend I said, hey.
I sure will. I'll see her this morning for sure.
We love y'all.
Thank you so much, Ken. I appreciate it, and appreciate your call. So give us a call, 222-8255. And, yeah, talking about Captain Fred was just, you know, some great, great memories. And like I say, you know, it's a shame when you lose all that information. It's a shame that we can't get with some of these captains, you know, and learn all their spots and stuff. So, you know, when they are no longer able to fish, I mean, wouldn't want to go fishing their spots, you know, when they're fishing it, of course. But, you know, but anyway, it's such a shame to have to, all that information just seem to be, you know, lost forever. But I had something here I was wanting to bring up. Now I can't find it. Anyway, I'll find it through the next break. I also had some people ask me not long ago. I talked about, you know, when you're frying fish in the house, a lot of people fry fish, you know, out. You know, outside on the barbecue grill, you got the side burner. That's a good place to do it. That way you don't kind of, you know, put a little smell in your house. Frying fish, to me, I like the smell, but after it's done frying, after a little while, it kind of gets, you know, gets to the wives usually of the household. So, you know, because of the chemical that's in the fish, you can take in put boil a little water with some garlic or thyme, and stick a couple of sticks of cinnamon, or a few drops of vanilla extract, and you know, that way it'll, you know, when you boil that water and all, it'll put the scent throughout the house. You can also take 2 tablespoons of vanilla extract, and you put it on a cookie sheet in the oven, and only put it on, you know, you don't want to, you know, bake it till it's evaporated. But you stick it in an oven about 200 degrees, and believe it or not, it will actually take all of that aroma away, all of that that fried fish smell. We don't hardly fry it in the house anymore ourselves, but because of that, you know, you can burn candles, stuff like that. It doesn't seem like the candles do near as much as doing like the garlic or the cinnamon on the stove, or doing the vanilla. You can do the vanilla on the stove, you know, in boiling water. And you just want the boiling water so they get up in the atmosphere atmosphere of the house, you could say. But putting it on the cookie sheet, same thing. You know, it's like cooking a pastry or something in the oven. That aroma gets moving through the house. And, of course, whenever your, you know, air conditioner turns on and off, it'll circulate it through your house, and it'll eliminate that smell, you know, pretty quickly. So I went fishing yesterday for a little while for the giant drum, and I was talking about the bonnethead sharks earlier. There's some giant drum out there, like at the jetties and some in the river. I had one place in the river I was going to go fish, as it got choppier out there at the jetties. We went up in this one area in the river, and we saw a barge. Now, I don't know if anybody has this information out there that's listening or whatever, and can call me and tell me, or text me and tell me, either one you want to do. But they had the tugboat had this barge, and they were going up and down the shoreline out from the docks there at, I think it's called St. John's Landing, and which is across the river, right, you know, south side of the river right there at Blunt Island. And this barge was going up and down. He would go down and turn around and come back up, turn around. And as we saw him, I mean, he's doing it kind of slow, of course, but when I first saw him, I was going heading down there fishing, and there's a couple of docks I like to fish off of down there, and for bull reds and giant drum. And when we first saw him, I'm thinking, what's he that close to the docks for? And then he starts turning around and starts heading back up. And I had just pulled over to the side and dropped my trolling motor and fixed a spot lock. And he blew his horn one time. I'm thinking, what's he doing, you know? So then he comes up and goes past us, pretty close to us, and goes up and turns around again. And as he's coming back down, he gets on his PA and says, that's not going to be a good place to fish right now because we're working through here. And I noticed he's dragging something. It had some cables off of the barge that was in a lot of strain. I mean, you could tell the cables were just vibrating like crazy. Looks like he was dragging something on both sides of the barge down on the bottom, and I don't know if he was doing that to tear up the bottom, to loosen it for them to come in there and dredge easier with a clamshell bucket, but he was dragging something in there. If anybody has that information and can let me know what he's doing in there, that'd be greatly appreciated. I don't know if they're going to ruin that whole area from now on as part of the dredging. There's no ships are going to get that close to the shoreline, so I don't get it. 222-8255. We'll be back.
Talk radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The Navajo Nation has issued a stay-at-home order for the weekend after reporting 26 more confirmed COVID-19 cases. The latest figures bring the total number of cases on the tribe's reservation, which does include parts of Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah, to 30,239. No additional deaths were reported. Florida Representative Matt Gaetz is embroiled in a federal sex trafficking investigation, denying any wrongdoing and refusing to resign or even lay low amid mounting political pressure to do so during a high-profile appearance last night at former President Trump's Doral Golf Club in Miami. He vowed, quote, "I have not yet begun to fight." Gaetz is looking to solidify his place as one of the brightest stars in the Republican Party's most conservative wing. He also says he's a victim of an extortion plot. This is SRN News.
Tune in to AM 600 WBOB every Tuesday evening at 5 for the Tony D. Means Business Show with host Tony Davis. Tony fully understands the ups and downs of being in business today. With over 25 years of experience in corporate America and as a small business owner in a variety of industries, Tony D. gets it. If it's good for business, you'll hear about it on this show. If it's bad for business, you'll really hear about it on this show. The Tony D. Means Business Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. right here on AM 600 WBOB.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, president of Conservative Theological University, invites you to expand your biblical knowledge and earn your certified AA through PhD degree with CTU. If you're considering ministry or if you're already serving in ministry, you should consider completing your studies with CTU, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, in the Mandarin community. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview appointment today.
Hi, I'm Chef Matthew Madure.
And I'm Chef David Madure.
We are the founders of Madure Brothers Culinary Concepts.
And creators of M-Shack, your favorite local burger place.
When we decided to branch from fine dining to open M-Shack, we knew we wanted to build a much better burger.
Hey, Matt, can you build a better burger with just toppings?
Nah.
Better condiments?
I don't think so.
A better bun?
It's like I said from the beginning, Dave, you got to grind your own meat.
You didn't say that in the beginning.
I did say that from the beginning, we had to grind our own meat.
Well, I agree. But what kind of top quality meat are you talking about?
Chuck and brisket, bro. What else is there?
Ha, I can't argue with that one.
And Dave, that's how you build a better burger.
M-Shack Burgers, Shakes, and More. It takes family to build a better burger. Let the M-Shack brothers build your family a better burger. Stop in for happy hour between 3 and 5 for $3 burgers, shakes, and more. Visit mshackburgers.com and order online. M-Shack Burgers. Let our family build your family a better burger.
Remembering what Rush said then was right.
What do we do here every day? I simply report the news. All of it.
And still is.
And give you aspects of it and angles that you don't get in the drive-by media. Or maybe in any other place. We don't do topics here. We don't do guests. We just do the news of the day related to how I can use it to inform people what I believe. It's a way of explaining the horrors of liberalism.
Weekdays from noon till 3, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
There'll be a 60% chance of rain through tonight. Cloudy and breezy with a high today 88, down to 65 tonight. 40% chance of showers Sunday. Cloudy and breezy, high of 81. Sunday night, partly cloudy, down to 61, and then sunny on Monday, high near 84.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning. And I still was looking for something on my paperwork here, and I couldn't find it, so I don't know. But anyway, I've had people, you know, talk to me about different things, and a lot of times, you know, when Captain Chip and I'm on the show here, we get phone calls, get sidetracked and things. And so in a few minutes, I want to talk about if you hook a bird, what you should do, because I've had people ask me about that on the boat. I've had people ask me that at the bait shop. All they know to do is like cut the line, and that's exactly what you should not do. But let me get Dakota on here first. Morning, Dakota.
Morning, Captain Vic. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been quite a while since you called. Long time.
Yeah, I just been busy. I haven't been up this early, and I haven't gotten a chance to just listen in to the show. So I was in the car this morning. How's the fishing in the areas? In a lot of the areas out by the beach and all that.
Well,
I haven't fished in God knows how long.
You talking about surf fishing or in a boat or what?
Both, like surf and on the boat.
Yeah, they have been catching them when the water's clean, you know. I mean, depends on when the wind changes and stuff. Excuse me. But when the water is clean, they've been catching actually a few pompano and some nice whiting out there. Sometimes the whiting are small, and then sometimes they're, you know, you get them mixed where they're small and some nice ones, and then sometimes they're, you know, several of them are pretty good size. I love whiting. I love to fish for whiting in a boat even. I know you can catch them off Nassau Sound Bridge right now, too. There's certain areas out there that works a little better than others. I kind of like to count the pilings from the shoreline. It's kind of hard from the bridge, but if you can kind of, when you're walking up toward the bridge, you look at kind of picture where always counted between 15 and 16 pilings out from the north end of the bridge, because that's where I'd fish in the boat also. But I would spot somebody that's standing on the bridge that's close to that area, and that way when you're getting on the bridge and you're walking out, you can just spot that person and go out, you know, get just past them. And that way, you know, you're not having to lean over the bridge, try to see, you know, as you're walking out, counting the pilings. But number 15 or 16, there's like a little trough through there. It slopes off the north bank coming in there, and that's a good area in there to fish. I've caught some nice little black drum, 2 to 4 pound black drum. Actually caught a couple pompano because that is a real sandy, you know, Nassau River is a real sandy river. So that's a good area to fish. There's sheep's head at the jetties and some black drum at the jetties also now. I don't know, you know, I haven't talked to anybody that's fished right around the pier or on the pier yet, you know, in quite a while, but I know that they're out there, you know, trying to work on it. So, I don't know if they have it closed down during that time or what.
Yeah. Last time I was out there at the beach, I saw the pier was still closed. So
it was. Okay.
Well, yeah. And I think they said it would be closed for another year, I think.
Wow. You know, it kind of got me because, you know, I'm doing some research at one time, and, you know, for what they pay for 1 year on the electric bill of the scoreboards at the stadium could pay for a new pier. That's how much the electric bill just for the scoreboards at the stadium could pay for a new pier. And I just can't get over that, you know. I mean, here the fishermen have always been put on the back burner. Thankfully, we got Captain Jim Suber. He's a waterways coordinator with the city of Jacksonville. He's been really great the past, I don't know how many years now, you know, taking up for the fishermen and boaters and stuff and keeping these boat ramps up, you know, repairs up on the boat ramps and, you know, reporting to the city and actually talking to city recreation and getting these things fixed for us, which is absolutely great. I give all props to him. He's been great in doing that. But, you know, over the years, usually the fishermen and boaters, we've just been put on the back burner, you know, just, you know, everything else in the city takes precedence over us. But Captain Jim Suber has really changed that for us a lot. So I'm really glad of that. So
I've been good. Have all the captains been hit hard with the COVID and all that stuff, like not being able to charter as much as you'd like?
Yeah, for a while there, I had some problems. I had, you know, my wife's got Lyme disease from a tick. So she has a very compromised immune system. And so, you know, last year in March, I had stopped fishing when everything got, you know, you know, we first learned about COVID and all that stuff. So I had stopped fishing then. And I didn't fish again until June. And I just, you know, I took local people instead of people out of state and stuff like that.
Smart.
And then I had to stop fishing again in August when my daughter had some major back surgery, and my wife and I went and lived with her for 6 weeks, taking care of her and taking my granddaughter back for school. And then shortly after that, I had a couple of eye surgeries. One was a cataract, one was a detached retina, which was a little bit more serious. And then because of my age, it didn't heal, you know, real quickly, because I had two surgeries within 3 days on that one eye. And so I didn't fish from August until here recently, because they didn't even do my other cataract surgery until this one eye healed up, and it took some time for it to heal up. So during the COVID thing and all this eye surgery and my daughter's surgery, it's been a tough year.
Yeah. I just got my first vaccine yesterday.
Oh, did you? Well,
yeah,
good. Congratulations.
Yeah. So I'm hanging in there. I need to get my hands on a rod again. I haven't put my hands on a rod in a long time.
Wow. Yeah, yep. Yeah, you need to do that. That's for sure. That kind of gets your whole psyche back up, you know, to,
yep.
You know, but yeah,
of course,
I've
live
got
right there on the river. So.
Oh, you do?
And I just haven't. Yeah, I live right there. I'm south of the Buckman.
Oh, okay.
Just south of the Buckman down here. Yeah.
So you're down there where there's freshwater and saltwater fish.
Yeah, I'm right there in the mix down here.
Yeah, I think we talked years ago when you called. I think we talked about float fishing from your dock to another dock down there.
And fishing the shell bed from the Club Continental up to, I think, third dock past Moose Haven. It's good red fishing in that area.
And you're
on a shell bed that runs.
And you're on that, yeah. You live on that side of the river, the same side as Moose Haven?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people
yeah,
that catch.
Yeah, I live actually right down the road from Moose Haven.
There's people that catch pretty nice fish off the dock at Moose Haven.
Yeah, they catch. I've seen them catch. They catch some pretty good flounder, red, and different other fish through there.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that the flounder will go that far up, but they do. And of course, redfish yeah. are. I mean, redfish go all the way down, you know, Doctor's Lake and all that. They get in Doctor's Lake pretty thick at times. And but in that area down there, I mean, being able to catch like you know, brim, bass, freshwater cats, saltwater fish like, you know, trout and reds. I don't know how many trout you do catch, but it seems like when we don't have
very rare.
Well, when we don't have a lot of rain, then your salt your salinity goes up the river further. So
yeah.
I know at times where, like, just south of downtown, the trout are real thick. And other times we get a lot of rain, it kind of washes them out and makes them stay out more like Dane's Point on out area, you know, out toward, you know, from the Dane's Point east. But sometimes they'll, you know, when we don't have very much rain, they'll go way up the river up there.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to hear from you again, Dakota. You hear the music, mm-hmm. So we're going to have to get off in a minute, but it's great to hear from you. I appreciate you calling me back.
Yeah. And hopefully I'll start listening into the show more.
All right, sir. Yeah, do that. Give me a call. Give me a fishing report. Main thing is you need to get out there and get fishing.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, get out there and use that. Like you say, get your hands on a rod and get out there and use them. Let me know what's happening down in your area.
Will do.
All right, Dakota. Well, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it.
All righty. Talk to you soon.
You have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. 222-8255. Got one more segment. Give me a call. We'll be back after this.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits, and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and sorry, I was getting, looked like getting a phone call here, so I was going to get them on before I talk about a bird here. It's Taylor. Morning, Taylor.
What's going on?
Hey, talking to you. How you doing?
Well, I took my boat, doing pretty good. I took my boat out finally.
Good.
It hadn't been since the Super Bowl. That's a long time, wasn't it?
Did you get, when did you take it out?
I took it out yesterday just for a spin. I took my old trolling motor off. I bought an iPilot from Chip. He told me he wasn't going to sell it, but I gave him $1,000 the other day, but he sold it to me.
What did he do? Get a bigger one or just a new one?
Yeah, he got an Altera. He got an Altera, yet, the one that you just self-deploy with the remote control.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hope they get the bugs, you know, out of it now. They for a while there, they had the thing wouldn't, you know, it would only work off and on. So, but
yeah,
now,
I don't know how he fixed it, but he don't hardly use his boat, so it can't break if you don't use it.
Well, now you're one to talk.
Yeah, I know. Well, how many times got a truck though? I don't.
How many times have you had your boat out now?
Like three or four times, but I put it on my buddy's dock, so hopefully gonna can use it more because his boat's not gonna be done till the end of May, so
oh yeah,
he said I could put it on his dock.
Well, good.
But I was thinking I need to maybe get like 12 strikes on him, because every time I go on the boat I lose it.
What's that?
I need to get like 12 strike zone hats, because every time I go on the boat it flies off. I put the hat on backwards, I tightened it, and it still flew out of the boat.
Really? Well, let me tell you this, whenever you're riding, you don't look up. And because when you look up, then their bill, you raise your bill up, the wind catches under it. And then, and then don't turn around and look behind you unless you're holding your hat. But yeah, I mean, mine's flown off before. It's, you know, I mean, I turn around and go back and get it. You don't turn around and go back and get yours?
I do, but by the time I tell it to turn around or something, or I try to turn around, you know, it's already sunk in the water. I don't know how it sinks so fast.
I don't either. Wow. Yeah, mine's usually.
I lost like two hats, and they sink, and you can't get them.
Yeah, mine usually floats, and, you know, because the bill, if nothing else, the bill floats. You just got to ease up there to it, you know.
Yeah, we searched all over the place yesterday. We couldn't find it. I said, screw it. We'll keep going.
Well, you'll keep Dave in business by buying hats.
he takes care of me over there. Those are nice hats. I like Strike Zone. That's the place. Yeah. You see those hats and shirts everywhere.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you just kind of have to, you know, either that or get you a straw hat with a strap that goes under your chin, one or the other. You know, you can buy these, you know, you can buy these little clips too that you clip on the back of the hat and you clip on the back of your shirt. And,
I need to get that.
And what it does is, you know, the clips are pretty good. You just don't want to put it on there good, not just barely ease it on, you know, on the edge of it. But, and then it's a lot of like loose, you know, it's long enough. The cord on it is long enough that when you're turning your head, it doesn't, you don't feel it. You know what I mean? It's not like you don't turn your head and it's pulling on you. And then if your hat flies off, it usually lands just, it's hanging on your back.
Yeah, I need to get that then.
Yeah, get that. Next time you go get your hat at Strike Zone, get one of those. And you just clip it on the back of the hat, you know.
I was hoping to go out this weekend, but the weather's going to be really bad. Like, today's going to be like 17, 20-mile-an-hour winds, and then tomorrow's going to be like 25.
Yeah, this morning it's okay, but that's why I was telling people earlier, you need to get out there and try to do it, this, you know, early, because this afternoon it's supposed to get up to 20 knots. Plus, you have a chance of rain this afternoon, you know.
Yeah, but that, the tide is wrong, though, you know. It was high tide at 9, and then by the time you pick up, the wind will pick up, and the boat ramps will be crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's one bad thing is the boat ramps would be crazy, too. But that's, what was it, two Sundays ago, I sit in my truck after, you know, after my customers left, I, you know, had the boat tied up at the dock, and I sit in my truck like right at an hour and 10 minutes before I could even back down into the, you know, to get my boat out of the water. That's how long the line was.
I was at Beach Marine yesterday, and there was like, people pulling their boats out of the water, then people tying up, and it's like you can't even back your boat out of the water you can't even back the boat in the water because you got this two people behind you, and I don't want to hit nobody trying to back it out, but
yeah,
it's like I need, you know, the space, and they're tying their boats up to wait. They should just come back or you know, not tie up to let people use the dock, but if you got, like, you know, two boats trying to pull out of the water, then you got two boats behind you, I can't even pull my boat down to, you know, get in the water off the trailer.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's like myself, you know, I have to do it by myself. It's not like I got somebody that can drive the truck down back, you know, and I pull the boat off and then they could go park the truck. I have to pull the boat off and go tie it at the dock, run back up, get in the truck and go park it. And
that's a lot of work.
Yeah. And then, but I've been doing it for, you know, what, 25 years or more.
Maybe you just need to find your little mate, you know, to help you out or something.
And then, you know, the same thing when you come back, you know, you get your boat tied up to the dock and then, you know, you have to go up there and get the truck and pull it down, then run out and get the boat and untie it. And, you know, of course I do it pretty quick. You know, I'm not in there very long. I do it pretty quick and, you know, I don't take my time and all that stuff. It's, you know, I pretty well drive it up there, hook it up and out of there, you know, and then I pull way up out of the way so that, you know, I'm out of everybody's way to strap it down and put my poles down in the floor and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I hope to get that trailer motor put on soon. That way I can try to catch those trout like Eddie's been catching them.
If you, when you say get the trolling motor soon, but you don't have it yet?
I have it, but I just got to put it on.
Oh.
So. I got a lot of work. You got to put, you know, I need a 50-amp breaker. That's a chipset. I need, you know, two new batteries, and then I need to run the wire from the front to the back.
Yeah.
When I sold the other trolling motor, I took the wires off, so I need to rerun it. But those wires were old anyways.
Well, it's the same though. What you could have done was tape the new wires to it and pull the new wires through when you're pulling the old wires out.
Oh, I know, but I had to sell the old wires so that way I could show that it works. I didn't have no other way to show it, so I was like, I figured, well, I'll just pull all the wire out.
Yeah, yeah, you should have waited.
Oh, I know. I had to get it off though.
But now you got to try to use a fish tape or something to get it through there. You can always.
Oh, yeah, that's what Noah does. He's pretty good at it.
Oh, he is. Okay, I was gonna say you could always take it out to Matt at Trolling Motor Services Plus. He can, he'll stick that thing through there before you can blink your eyes.
Yeah, I just gotta get it over there. It's on the trailer right now. I mean, it's on the boat lift. I can't.
Yeah.
I tried to put it on the trailer.
Oh yeah.
That's kind of hard to do when you don't have a truck right now.
Yeah, I can understand that. So, like you say, it's in trying to, how'd you get it to the water? Did you borrow a truck?
I use my buddy's truck. Yeah, I use my buddy's. He has a truck.
Yeah. So yeah, you can
but
do.
But it's better to put it on the lift, though. Then I don't have to, ask people to use their trucks because it's almost like it's their boat, like other buddies.
Yeah.
He always wants to use the boat, but then I ask him every single time. He's always at the bus. I'm like, man, that's it. Every time I turn around, you're at the bus, and then I ask you to use the boat, and you never want to use the boat.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to find somebody that's not working on a bus project so I can use my own boat.
Well, and now you got it. See, all you got to do now is go over there and drop the lift, right?
Yeah, that's all I got to do.
Yeah. So now you ought to be able to get out there a little bit more.
Yep. All right, well, let me know if you catch any big fish. We still need to go out there and get those drum. I never got the drum with you.
No, I know it. I need to look at my open dates and get with you. I'll try to do that, like, tomorrow because I'm not working tomorrow in the rain. And
Let me know.
Yeah, because I've got some trips this week. So, but anyway, got to pick the right tide, too. That's the big thing.
Yeah, I'm ready. I remember you took Chip Davis and that girl Stacy. They caught some big old drums.
Well, that was Big Reds.
Oh, Big Reds. Yeah,
Big Reds.
Drum.
No, huh? Chip caught one. Chip caught one drum, but he was not big. I mean, he's about 7 pounds or so, But him and Stacy and Stacy's husband. And
that's good.
Yeah, and then they caught a bunch of bull reds that day.
All right, well, I guess I'll catch you later. I got more than 30 seconds today.
Yeah, you did. Well, you always get more than 30 seconds with me, Taylor.
Yeah. We need to pull Chip Davis out of retirement. He needs to get on the radio. All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you, Taylor. All right.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I appreciate everybody calling in today. That was pretty nice. I appreciate that a lot. I want to tell you to please visit our sponsors. Browns Creek Fish Camp, Durant's Tree Service. Don't wait till the hurricane season starts to see Durant's Tree Service. Trolling Motor Services Plus, Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs, Safe Harbor Seafoods, where we always stop when we're out there on the water with my family. We pull the boat right up in there, order a takeout, and eat right in the boat. Great food. Palm Valley Fish Camp, North Beach Fish Camp, and always call Country Caterers for your catering needs. Call Tommy Perriman at Country Caterers, 352-473-3728. Be back next week. Stay tuned for Ask an Attorney.